I'm Russ Cox, one of the pastors of New Hope Community Church. I want to thank you for downloading this message. I also invite you to download the accompanying message outline so that you can follow along and take notes. You can download the message at newhopeeastlake.org or download our New Hope app on your mobile device. On the app or the website, you'll find previous messages. We hope this message provides you with inspiration for developing a relationship with God.
If you haven't already done so, please look inside your program. Take out your message outline today. We are on a message series. We're trying to answer one big question. Here it is. What on earth am I here for? What on earth am I here for? And I really, really, really hope that you have been reading the Purpose Driven Life book. This goes along with this series. In fact, the series is based off of the book and kind of a 2-part-o, if you would, on that, a little different thing. But if you have not ever read this book, you want to make sure you get a copy out in the lobby today. The past week, it was almost like every day this past week that you and I have been reading, it was like he took a 20-page chapter, condensed it into 5 pages, and every sentence was just so filled with just insight and stuff. So do yourself a favor. If you get nothing out of the series, from what I say, you want to read the book, you'll get a ton out of that. We've been looking at the 5 purposes God has for our life and the 5 callings as a result of that. So it's kind of like the 5 reasons that God has you on planet Earth and the 5 assignments that he has for your life and my life. We've looked at 3 so far. Here's a quick review for you if you haven't been with us. The first purpose of our life is this: I am planned for God's pleasure. So my calling, my assignment is that I am called to be loved by God. And God says to you, before you do anything for me, because by my nature I am a doer, I want to do stuff for God, God says, stop. Before you do one thing, I want you to receive something. I want you to receive my love for you. I want you to know how deeply I love you. That's my first purpose. Second purpose is this: I am formed for God's family. And we've said here that God's family has a name. We refer to God's family as the... If there are guests around you, you were not impressive. God's family is called the... Church. It's the church, and I am called, my calling is I am called to belong to God's family, to be a part of God's family, not some lone ranger out on your own. Third purpose is this: I am created to be like Christ. I'm created to be like Christ. I am called then to become like the person of Jesus. Now, there's some religions that teach that you can be a God like Jesus, so to speak. Let me tell you something. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. You and I are humans. We'll never be God. But we are called to become like Jesus, to act like Jesus. He's our role model in life, if you would. Today, we're going to look at our 4th calling together. Our 4th calling is we are called to bless. We are called to bless. You say, what are you talking about, Russ? We're called to bless other people. How do you and I do that? You bless other people by serving them. You bless other people by serving them. That could be financially, physically, emotionally, relationally, practically. Anytime we use our gifts, our skills, so to speak, to help other people, we are blessing them. So we serve to bless other people. Here's the first fill in the blank on your message outline. The 4th purpose of my life is that God has shaped me to serve him. He has shaped me to serve him. If you're a part of our church family, you know that we take the word shape as an acrostic, and each of the letters, S-H-A-P-E, stands for something combined. The 5 things combined makes your spiritual fingerprint, makes you different than any other person walking the face of the earth. It's the next fill in the blank. Here's what the shape acrostic stands for. The S for my spiritual gift. The H is for my heart or my passion that God puts on my life. A, my natural ability, my natural talents. P, my personality. And E, my life experiences. Take those 5 things together, put them together, makes you different than anyone else. It's your spiritual fingerprint, if you would, on that. Ephesians 2:10 is our memory verse for this week. And each week during this series, we've learned 1 Bible verse related to the theme. This is our verse today. So let's read it out loud together, please. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, the word translated here, workmanship, some translations will translate that masterpiece, that you and I are God's masterpiece. We are his work of art. We are unique. We are one of a kind. And we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, to help other people. We're not just here to take up space. you know, eat, breathe, you know, that type of thing, and then eventually die. No, there's so much more to our lives. Look at this fill-in. God put you here to make a contribution with your life. Now, just like God's family has a name, church, God says your contributions have a name as well in the Bible. And here it is. God puts you here to make a contribution with your life. It is called ministry. It is called ministry. When you and I bless other people, that is ministry. Now, in the Bible, the word service and the word minister are essentially, they come from the same word. And here's what it's telling us. Every one of us here today, if you say, I am a professed follower of Jesus, you're a minister. You go, what? Look around you. You're sitting around a bunch of ministers. Not pastors. Oh, they're an evil group. But the ministers are different. Pastors, and we have four or five pastors on our church staff. You know what our job is? Some people mistakenly think, well, the pastors, oh, we pay them to do the work of the church. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't read your Bible if you say that. Some people think, well, that's we pay them to do the work. No, you don't. The pastor is, our job is we administer the ministers. That we're to oversee you to help you discover your God-given shape and release you to do ministry. That's what our job is here. It's not to try to do everything ourselves on that. Look at this next fill in the blank. If my purpose is that I'm shaped by God to serve Him, then what is my calling? My calling is this. My life calling is that God is, my life calling is to be a bivocational minister of Jesus. A bivocational minister of Jesus. And you're going like, whoa, what does that mean, a Bible? What are you talking about, Russ? How many of you know what this pair of glasses, what are they called? Bifocals. Some of you said that really quick because maybe you're wearing them, all right? That's a good thing if you are, because these help you to see two different things. They help you to see long distance and up close with clarity. They are very, very good type of a thing. Well, a bivocational minister of Christ means this, that no matter what you and I do, we do it for two reasons. We do it for two reasons, not one, two reasons. And it doesn't matter what your vocation is, what you do for a living. It doesn't matter if you are a tax collector, attorney, school teacher, military, accountant. It doesn't matter what you do. This applies to you. So here's what are the two purposes we do everything for? Look at the fill-in. If you're a follower of Jesus, whatever you do, you should do for two reasons. Number one, to help other people. To help other people. Number two, to honor God. Number two, to honor God. Everything I do is bivocational. I have a job, but inside of that job, I am to do everything to help other people and to honor God. 1 Corinthians 3:17, the great missionary Paul, writing to the Christians at the ancient city of Colossae, wrote these words. He says, whatever you do, it's not confined to church, it's not confined to your job or your home, it's whatever you do, whether in word, whether you say something or do something, deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What he's telling us is this, folks, everything you and I do can be a ministry. Not that it is, because it has to meet the two qualifiers. I do it to help other people. I do it to honor God. You do that, whatever you do. And, folks, that is ministry. That is ministry. So here's what it means, practically speaking. You can carry out the garbage as a ministry. You can change a diaper as a ministry. You can clean the living room. That is a ministry. Ladies, some of you are going like, Pastor Russ, preach it, brother, and tell that to my husband. All right? Yes, that's a ministry. So you're going to go home today and say, honey, I need you to do a ministry. Okay, you know, that type of thing. You're going to like this, I'm sure, on that. He says, whatever you and I do, it can become part of our ministry if we do it to honor God, if we do it to help other people. Now, here's why this is significant. Look at this fill in the blank. It means that menial tasks can become meaningful. All of a sudden, they become meaningful tasks when I do it out of love for God. So here's a practical application of that. Look at this next fill in the blank. It means that everything in your life suddenly becomes significant. It becomes significant. Now let me give you an example of this. And for some of you, this is not going to be an example because this actually happens at your workplace. So you have a team meeting. 10, 15 people come to this meeting in a conference room. You got coffee, you got donuts, you know, the pastries, that type of thing. The meeting's over. What does everybody do? They leave. And all of a sudden, you're the last one there. You look around, and they've left all the coffee cups, all the napkins, all the dirty plates and stuff. You can walk out, too. It's not your job to clean it up. But all of a sudden, you think, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to take a moment. I'm going to clean this up. Why am I doing it? It's to help other people, but it's also to honor God. That's ministry. That is absolutely ministry. And God sees that, and God says this, I'm going to reward you for that. I'll reward you for that. When you and I stepped across that line of faith and we said, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus, we make a conscious decision, I'm going to follow Jesus with my life. When you do that, we talk about, in our church language, we use the word, we were saved. We were brought into a right relationship with God. Look at this fill in the blank. Here's just a little saying. You were saved to serve. You were brought into this relationship with God in order to serve, to make a difference with your life. In Galatians 1:15, Paul, again, the great missionary, writes these words. And he says this, God in his grace chose me even before I was born. Chose me for what? He called me to do what? Here it is. Serve him. He has called me to serve him. Now here at New Hope, did you know that there are 250 adults who are actively volunteering in our church? Pretty impressive, huh? Did you know that Brooke Price and Brooke, who leads our New Hope Kids Sunday morning ministry, does a fantastic job with that? Do you know in her ministry alone, she oversees 85 volunteers to pull that off every week. Now they're not all 85 here every week, but they rotate in and out. 85 people to do that. Very impressive. 250 people involved. You say, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Here's what that means. If there's 250 people involved in our church right now, it means this. 450 people aren't. 450 people aren't doing anything at our church. Wow. When you think about that just for a moment, what's going on? What is happening? Who are you? Do you know who you are? If I'm referring to you. You're like a diamond that's never been uncovered. You're like a piece of gold waiting to be found. You are valuable. Your church family needs you. Our church needs you. I've told you several times that we are on, in our staff, the most extensive process of evaluating everything we do as a church. And we've been doing this on Tuesdays and Thursdays for 3 hours each time since November. About 3 weeks ago, or three meetings ago, we had three different staff meetings, and the staff members in the course of that meeting said this, I got to have volunteers. I'm getting killed. I need help. Three different times it said that. We need you. We need you. So here in your program, I want you to look very quickly. There's a little survey, little form, white paper. Would you take it out real quickly? And let me just explain to you why what we're doing here. And by the way, we need one for, we're asking you to complete this, one for your, if you're married, your spouse and you. So there's some extra ones out there, but we were asking everybody to fill this out. If you look at this at the top, on one side it says, we want and we need to know you. And I just want to make sure you understand this. First of all, you say, what are you asking some of these questions for? Number one, what type of work do you do for a living? What do you want to know that for, Russ? Let me give you some examples of this. A year and a half ago, we took about 25 people down to La Esperanza, about 5 miles south of Tijuana, for a week-long mission trip. And as we were down there, I'm in the car one day riding in a van with a family on the trip, obviously, that I really don't know. I know their names, but I asked the wife, I said, hey, what do you do for a living, by the way? And she looks at me and she says, well, she says, I'm head of HR for an international company that has a plant here in San Diego. I went, what? You're head of HR for hundreds of people? Are you kidding me? Where have you been? We need your help on our staff relations, our personnel department. We need you. And she joined our personnel committee. Let me just tell you something. I keep talking about this planning process that we're going through. She's responsible for that. She gave me a book and said, you need to read this. I read it and I said, you're right, I need to read this. We need to go through this process. That's what we've been doing. Who knew? Who knew that here was a diamond waiting to bless our church family? About a couple of months ago, somebody was walking out after one of our services, and they said to me, Pastor Russ, I looked at the website today. Who does your website, your all that inner, you know, IT stuff? He said, well, we've got somebody X, Y, and Z. He said, I went on the website, and it took me 5 clicks to get to one site. I can help you reduce that to 2 clicks. What? What do you do? I'm a web designer. Who knew? Who knew? You are diamonds. You are pieces of gold out there. We don't know you. We want to know you. God has given you to this church to help us for however long, you know, God has you here. So we're asking you, what do you do? Hobbies, interests, skills. You may have a skill and you write that down and go like, we've been praying for that. My gracious, what are things that you're good at? Would you consider blessing your church family with some of the things that you're good at? Whatever that might be. And then look, do you know your spiritual gift? If you say, well, you know, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you want to go through class 301 and take the shape class, and we help you understand what that is, type of thing. And you say, what do you want to know what school my kids go to? One of the main ways we reach out to this community, and our church is a blessing to this community. If New Hope Community Church were to leave Chula Vista tomorrow, if we were just taken off the map, Chula Vista would suffer. The city of Chula Vista would suffer. We do all kinds of things through our sports ministry, touch the hearts of kids, through our Tiny Tots programs, 200 kids in Tiny Tots, 200 kids playing basketball right now, girls playing middle school volleyball, through our after-school program, 150 kids involved in that. There are thousands of people that walk through our door because they come here for a children's event, some type of children's activity, and we use that to build relationships for them. We're trying to get into the schools. When your school has a back-to-school barbecue, when they have your Halloween or a spring break event, if they allow outside vendors to come in and rent a table for $50 or whatever, we'll come in and set up a display of all the things that we do at this church. Folks, we pre-qualify the audience. That's who we're trying to reach, those families and stuff. And so they come in and you put us in the midst of 500 to 700 families that we can offer something to begin to build relationships. Too. So we're asking it for our information. So I want to encourage you, please fill this out and turn it in today. On the back side, it says about our summer. During the summer, we don't have small groups. We have our dedicated teaching time. So we're asking you for some topics that you might be interested in learning about this summer. So please fill those in and turn those in. And again, we would encourage you, there's extras out there. If you're here with your spouse, we would love for you to each one fill one out for that. One of our goals here at New Hope, because we want to make a difference in this community, one of our goals by the end of next year, by the end of 2020, we want to see our attendance go from about 750 where it is now to 1,000 in worship. You say, that's a lot. No, it's not. When you break it down, it really isn't a lot. But it's going to take every one of us working together to do that. So we want to work together as a family. We can accomplish far more together than we ever could by ourselves. So in our remaining time, I'm going to share with you very quickly four incredible blessings that will be yours if you and I learn to unselfishly give ourselves to others and bless them. Here's the first one. Serving others unselfishly will create joy in my life. It will create joy in my life. Most people look for happiness in all the wrong places. We think happiness comes from all the P's in life. The things like pleasure, power, possessions, positions, popularity. The problem with those, they're all temporary. They really don't last long term. So look at this fill-in. Permanent, ongoing joy comes through service. By giving my life away to others. And listen, God wired you and I that way. That's how he made us. That's in our DNA, so to speak, that when you and I give our life away, joy begins to flow into our hearts and lives. Here's a couple of things that happen when you and I do this. First of all, when you do this, you become more like God. You don't become a God. Again, let's just clarify that. There's one God, and you're not it, and neither am I. Okay? But we become more like God. John 3:16 is the most famous Bible verse. This is the verse that sometimes, if you're watching a pro football game and they're kicking a field goal or an extra point, there'll be somebody in there that'll hold up this little sign that says John 3:16. You ever wondered, what are they doing? That is the most famous verse in the Bible, and most of you know it. You know what it says? For God so loved the world, he gave. Our God is a giver, and he wants us as his followers to be givers too. That's what we're talking about this morning. There's two secrets of joy that most people don't know. They're the bullets on your outline. Here's the first one. That joy comes when I get the focus off of myself. Joy comes when I get the focus off of myself. The more you focus on you, the more miserable you're going to be. The more you focus on you, the more miserable you're going to be. It's not an accident that the word miser and miserable come from the same word. There is no accident on that. Now, many of you know that Janie and I were not here last week. We were actually on an 8-day tour of Greece. Loved it. We had a fantastic time. If you're into history, Greece is the place. It was a tour. We were on a tour group, 40 people in the group, didn't know anybody till we got there, type of thing. The very first day, we're going to visit the Acropolis with the Parthenon on it and all like that type of thing. At the base of it, though, and I didn't even realize this, is Mars Hill. Now, you're going like, Mars Hill. I don't know Mars Hill. Well, if you follow me on Instagram, Pastor Russ at New Hope, I'm going to tell you about Mars Hill. I'm going to send you a picture about Mars Hill because a significant Bible event happened on Mars Hill in Athens. So we're going up, walking up Mars Hill. This lady in front of me turns around, and she begins to say to me, oh, she's just lambasting our tour guide. I don't like our tour guide. And I'm like, we just met her. Why can you not like the lady? So I didn't like what she said about so-and-so. And I'm going like, I told Janie, I pulled her aside. Negative Nancy's on our group, all right? She's on the tour with us. And I'm telling you right now, she was negative Nancy to the T on that type of thing. She was miserable. She was flat out miserable. And as we got to know her through the tour, when she found out she had a broken marriage, she had been through two or three other broken relationships, and I'm sitting there going like, I know why those were broken relationships. You take a rocket science to figure this thing out, man. You are negative. Who wants to be around you? And then one day we went to visit this ruins, and we were having lunch together, tables of eight, you know, so Janie and I sit down, and who sits beside me? Negative. I'm sitting there going, don't you hate it when God makes you apply what you preach? I mean, that's just, you know, like, God, yeah, you need to do this. So I said, so here's negative Nancy. I thought, Lord, this is going to be the longest lunch ever. Why? And it was, you know, it wasn't long at all because all we did was ask two or three questions. And she spent the whole time telling us about herself, okay? That, you know, she never asked about anybody else. She was incredibly negative about that. She was so inwardly focused. She was miserable. I want to tell you something. You and I have to shift our focus from being inward-centered or self-centered to be caring about other people. I'm going to tell you, it's not easy, though. This is so countercultural to our society that we grow up in. Just think of some of these ad slogans. We do it all for you. Have it your way. You deserve this. You're number one. That's what we are bombarded with every day. But joy comes by giving our lives away. Philippians 2:17. Paul, the great missionary, writes these words to the Christians in the city of Philippi. He says, my life is being poured out as part of the sacrifice and service I offer to God for your faith. That doesn't sound really exciting to me. Poured out, you know, that doesn't sound really good, right? But then notice what he says in the next sentence. Yet I am filled with what? Joy. And I share that joy with all of you. Paul got it. He understood it. He's trying to help us understand it. It's in giving our lives away that we experience incredible joy. Look at this, fill in the blank. The most helpful people are the most happy people. The most helpful people are the most happy people in life. You want to be happy? Learn to be helpful. Learn to be helpful. Again, in that same letter, Paul writes these words to us. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. Again, I say it, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all that you do. Notice how he ties unselfish and considerate to joy. On the other hand, if you're selfish and inconsiderate, you're not going to have joy, is what he's trying to get us to see. In that same letter, he writes in chapter 2, verse 4, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourselves long enough. If you lack joy, start serving. Find a place where you're giving your life away, expecting nothing in return, no compensation for that. And let me just ask you, is there anything in your life right now like that? Any place where you're giving away just out of love for God and people? What's the first sentence in this book? It's not about you. It really isn't. It really isn't. It's not about us. You and I are not put on this planet just to be a consumer. We're here to be a giver as well. Look at this next fill in the blank. Here's the second bullet. Joy comes when I use my gifts to help other people. When I use my gifts to help other people. Sometimes I see people doing this, and they're giving their lives away, and I say, how does that feel? You know, they'll look at me, you know what they'll say? Sometimes they'll say this, because you say, I'm tired, but boy, it felt good. You know why? Because you were wired to do that. God put that inside of you, that we are to give our lives away to other people. 1 Peter 4:10, look at this verse with me. He writes and he says this to us. He says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Yay! Be sure to use them to make a lot of money for yourself. Oh, no. Some of you looked up all of a sudden like, really? Does it say that? No, that's the revised perverted translation. Look at what it really says. God says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to do what? Help each other, passing along to others God's many kinds of blessings. We are blessed to be a blessing, folks. God blesses you so that you can bless others. How does that happen? By using our skills, our times, our talents. Here's a second benefit to serving other people. Serving others unselfishly improves my relationships. Well, how does it do that? Well, look at the next fill-in. Because the root of most every relationship problem you and I have is our self-centeredness. Or being selfish. That's the root of probably every relationship problem you and I have. You see, I want what I want when I want it. You know what you want? The same thing. You want what you want when you want it. And neither one of us budge, neither one of us will change. What are we going to have? Conflict. And that's what the Bible tells us. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict. So we have to practice learning to serve each other, to get out or get beyond ourselves. When we do that, it changes our relationships. It improves them. It improves them. So how can I learn to do that? Look at this fill-in. I can learn to be unselfish by copying Jesus, by imitating Jesus. Jesus lived the most unselfish life ever. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, here's what Jesus said about himself. Your attitude must be like my own. Okay, Jesus, what's your attitude? I didn't come to serve. But I did come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. When you and I begin to do this, not just for our benefit, for the benefit of others, a couple of things are going to happen. You become more like Jesus. And the other thing is this, you're going to be more loved and more respected by the people around you. You're going to be more loved and more respected. You say, how can this happen? Look at this fill in the blank. When you're interacting with other people, don't try to be interesting. Instead, be interested in them. Don't try to be interesting. Be interested in other people. Do you know there are people that will pay $150 every week just for somebody to listen to them in therapy? Have you ever been to a party and maybe you went with your wife to her office party and you met another spouse or somebody else there and you began to talk to them and you ask them a couple of questions and they spent the entire time, 20, 30 minutes, they never ask you anything about you. They just told them all about you. Have you been there, done that type of thing? And then later on, they get back to work the next week and your spouse comes home and says, hey, you know, Mary at work said that you talked to her husband, John. John loved you. John thought you were a great conversationalist. And you're sitting there going, I didn't say anything. I just listened. Why does he think you're a great conversation? Because you listened. You gave an incredible gift to him by listening. But we have to get beyond that to be a blessing to other people as well. Sometimes, well, let me just say that. Romans 14:18. Look at this verse. If you serve Christ in this way, you're going to please God, and you're going to be what? Respected by people. People are going to respect you. Here's the cool part. The more that I bless other people, the more God blesses me. The more I bless other people, the more God blesses me. Proverbs 11:25 tells us this. The one who blesses others is what? Abundantly blessed. Those who help others are what? Folks, this is the principle of the harvest that is found throughout the Bible. The principle of the harvest. Let me explain it to you. I got pictures. What is this a picture of? A piece of corn. It's a kernel of corn. You plant a piece of kernel of corn, you get this. What is this? Corn. All right, now I'm going to give you your irrelevant agricultural trivia of the day. Here it is right here. How many kernels of corn are on a piece of corn on average? 500, I got to guess. Somebody at Thursday night guessed it, the exact number. Anybody just want to take a guess? 500? That's not right. 526? No. 800. 800. Did you know there's 16 rows of on a piece of corn? I pity the person who actually was so bored with life they had to count the kernels in the rows. But anyway, that, you know, that's true type of thing. Now, here's your other question. On average, how many ears of corn will a stalk of corn grow in one season, one year? How many? 12. No. 7. Nope. Do you know on average 2 to 4? 2 to 4. Most only grow a couple. Some grow as many as 10, but on average 2 to 4. So let's just figure this out. I take one kernel of corn, I put it in the ground, I get a corn stalk. It grows 2 ears of corn. I take them off. How many kernels do I have? 800 times 2. I got 1,600. Do you know anything where you can invest one and get 1,600 back? I don't. But that's the principle. That's the law of the harvest. And what it's telling us is this. I get much more back than what I ever put in. That's the law of the harvest, and that's what Jesus had taught us. That's what Scripture teaches us over and over. Proverbs 11:17 tells this. When you do yourself a favor, when you're kind, you're helping you. Look at this, Proverbs 22:9. A generous person will be what? Blessed, will be blessed. Here's the third blessing, the third benefit from giving our lives to help other people. Serving others unselfishly, will make my life meaningful. It'll make my life meaningful. Folks, here's a kind of a big surprise a lot of people never have figured out. Money does not bring you significance. Money doesn't, it doesn't, meaning in life doesn't come from money. If we brought a billionaire up here today and interviewed a billionaire, he would tell you some things about, or she would tell you some things about money. They may say things like this: money has a lot of good uses. It makes your life easier. Absolutely. Check that. It will give you more opportunities in life. Absolutely. I believe that. Check that. It will open doors for you that normally wouldn't be open. I believe that. Check that. It will save you time. Check that. But he would look at you, or she would look at you and say, but I'm going to tell you what money won't do. It'll never give you meaning in life, because it won't. Money doesn't give you meaning in life. The fill in the blank goes like this: the way to find meaning in life is to give your life away. To give your life away. Meaning comes from ministry. It comes from ministry. Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. These words are recorded for us. If you try to keep your life, what's going to happen to it? You're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will find true life. You might want to circle those two words right there. You want to find true life. It comes from giving our lives away. Now, if I understand that and I know that and I believe it, what should be my attitude towards service? Again, Paul writes, and he writes these words for us: always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Never wasted. That word fully there literally means not half-hearted. You're full in. You jump in. And then the word wasted there refers to the idea of empty, useless, something without purpose. Now, right beside that, I've referenced Matthew chapter 25. Every time I read this passage, I have to take a step back and go like, whoa. In this passage, Jesus gets the people and he separates them into two groups. And one group he looks at, and here's what he says to them: I was naked and you gave me some clothes. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was lonely and you visited me. And he goes through all these different things this group does. And when he finishes, this group goes, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, wait a minute. We don't remember doing that to you. When did we ever do that for you, Jesus? We don't remember any of that. And you know what he said? Whenever you did it to the least of one of these, referring to other people, you did it to me. When you and I bless other people, we are actually blessing the heart of God, because he created you and me to do that. Here's the fourth blessing. Serving others unselfishly will leave a legacy. It'll leave a mark in life. In fact, look at this next villain. You're actually going to leave two legacies. You're going to have one legacy you leave on this earth. You're going to have another one in eternity. The one on earth, folks, I hate to tell you, it doesn't last very long. Anybody here today, were you blessed to know your great-great-grandparents? Not your grandparents, but your great-grandparents. Anybody? Very few people. Some were. You were blessed, because most of us never knew them. In fact, some of us never really knew our grandparents. Do you know that research tells us after 3 years, your memory of this, your memories of you on this earth are basically going to be gone? After three generations, nobody's going to even remember you. Kind of sad, isn't it? You know, all those things we treasure, we look at, we value so much. You know what your relatives a couple of generations ago, you know what they're going to do with those things? They're going to throw them in the trash or give them to Goodwill. They don't know you. They don't mean anything to you. That's our life on this earth. But our legacy in eternity, it lasts forever. It lasts forever. Look at this fill in the blank. When you begin to serve, it gives you a reputation. It gives you a reputation. What will people remember you for? Just ask that question right now. What will people remember you for? Proverbs 10:7 tells us this: good people will be remembered as a what? Blessing. What are people going to remember you for? I've been working in church work for 40 years plus now. Done a lot of weddings, done a lot of funerals. Whenever I do a funeral, I break it into three parts. Two parts I rarely ever change. The second part is I talk about the grief process and how you need to turn to God in your time of loss. The third part, I talk about the fact that death causes us to face reality as it really is. Our physical bodies are going to give away too, and you need to prepare for eternity. So I talk about Jesus there. But the first part, I normally will give a biographical sketch of a person's life. And I will sit with the family, and I will say, tell me about your loved one that you lost. And I will ask them for an hour to an hour and a half. I will ask them all kinds of questions, write as many things as I can, take those notes, and put together a biographical, chronological sketch of their life. And I've done that for some people. When I've done that, I walk away sad, because I think, I didn't know that person. My gosh, I never knew that. I wish I could have talked to them about that. I wish I could have learned. I had no idea. But there are other people that I've been in a room with, and I'm telling you right now, it's like pulling teeth to get them to say anything good about the person. And I'm asking every question I know, every which way. Well, did they do this? Did they do that? Do they do that? I mean, there's been a few times, I mean, nothing. Nothing good. It's almost like they're glad they're gone. And I walk away and I'll go home and I'll tell Janie, I said, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. to think that you live 60, 70, 80 years of life and nobody can say anything good about you. Wow. I believe deep down everybody wants to live a life of significance. Everybody wants their life to matter. I don't want somebody when they get up and have nothing good to say about me. You don't want that. We want our lives to make a difference. Sometimes don't you even think, I'd like to do something great? You want to do something great? Look at what Jesus said about that. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26. He says, if you want to be great, you must become what? Servant. That's a path to greatness. Everybody knows this lady, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa spent her life toiling in obscurity in the streets of Calcutta, ministering to the lowest of lows, caring for those who were dying and had no place to go, brought them into her home. As word began to go out about Mother Teresa and what she did, her name began to be circulated around. People became aware of her. God gave her enormous influence in our world. That little bitty lady probably weighed about 85 pounds. She stood before congresses. She stood before parliaments. She stood before kings and queens, presidents. She had incredible influence. People listened to her. Why? Because she gave her life away in service. You could go on Amazon right now, type in under Amazon Books, leadership. You'll find thousands of books on leadership. Here's my guess. For every 200 books you find on typically leadership things, you may find one on servant leadership. What is servant leadership? It's the leadership Jesus Christ lived, serving other people. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 tells us this. God is fair. He will not forget. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for him. By how? Helping his people. And he will remember that you are still helping them. Let's wrap it up this morning. John 12, 26 tells us this. My Father will honor anyone who serves me. My guess is none of us in this room are going to win a Nobel Peace Prize. My guess is none of us in this room are going to win a Congressional Medal of Honor. But let me tell you something. Every one of us can win this prize. Every one of us can win this prize. God says, Jesus says, my Father will honor. Can you imagine being in honor, being in heaven and God honoring you? What might that look like? He will honor anyone, he says, who serves me. Last couple of fill in the blanks. The best use of your life and my life then is investing it in something that will outlast it. What will outlast your physical life on this earth? There are two things and only two things. One is the Word of God. That's why it's so important that you memorize, you study, you and I become lifelong students of God's Word. It has eternal value. The Scripture tells us this, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God will last forever. God's Word lasts forever. The second thing that lasts forever, people. Look around you, every one of these people in this room, you're going to last forever. You have eternity. You have eternal life. The question is this, where will you spend it? And folks, there's only two options, but everybody has eternal life. People are worth investing our life in to help influence them towards a life of eternity. As we close, let me just put it to you this way. Here's what I'm asking you to do this week. Begin by taking a baby step. Begin by taking a baby step. What does that look like? Well, look at my next steps today. If you're new with us here at New Hope, we try not to take ourselves real seriously, but we try to take God very seriously. So we have a couple of practical things to follow through of our time together. So here's a couple of suggestions for you. First of all, would you say, hey, I'm willing to use what I'm good at to serve others at New Hope? Wow, we would love that. And then next week when we do that ministry event, and I think I mentioned to you that you have a sheet in your program today, it lists about 35 different ministries of our church. We're going to have some people out in the courtyard. You can go up and say, hey, what is this ministry about? They'll tell you all about it. You may find one or two say, I'd be interested in checking that one out. I want to encourage you, make sure you're here next week and spend a few moments after that service doing just that. Let's close in prayer today. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you loved us and you came and you served us. That you thought so highly of us, the value you placed on our life, that you loved us, you served us, you modeled for us how to live, and ultimately you gave your life for us to accomplish something in our lives we can't accomplish on our own. Thank you that you have repaired our broken relationship with God the Father, caused by our sin, by giving your life as payment for the forgiveness of our sins. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us today. Just take a moment and just look, what's a baby step for me this week? What's a baby step for me today? to begin to give myself, to look outside of myself, to give myself to other people. Not because they deserve it, so to speak, God, but because that's what pleases you, and that's how we are a blessing to other people. Would you use our church, would you use us as individuals to be a blessing to those you put us in contact with? We ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I hope you found this message meaningful to your life. If you're ever in the San Diego area, I want to personally invite you to visit New Hope Community Church, located in the East Lake community of Chula Vista. I also invite you to follow us online on Twitter or Facebook. For more information about our church, visit our website at newhopeeastlake.org. Thanks again for listening.